135 in your agenda, and this is to authorize the purchase of property 270 acres lying adjacent to the current Green River Biological Preserve, referred to as the Kinney property, to be utilized as a biological preserve under a grant from the Kentucky Land Heritage Conservation Fund Board. And I think you have read and see how monies are, where they're coming from, the funds for this, and what will be the use of the property. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Are there questions?
This is such a neat thing we're doing here with this biological preserve and the Heritage Land Trust Fund. We've become their darling in terms of that state fund, and we just received their first ever conservation award. In fact, Debbie, make a note, and let's bring that to the next meeting just to have it here. It's really a portrait of a Kentucky warbler, but it's really cool. But anyway, it's our biology faculty just doing terrific work on this preserve.
This will bring it to almost 600 acres, and they're already negotiating to get a few more parcels that are around the area.
It's wonderful.
So this isn't the cave that we bought the last time.
This is more.
But it's adjacent to the cave.
Adjacent.
No, actually, I think the cave is in a different area.
That's north.
Right.
The cave's up north.
This is adjacent to Mammoth Cave National Park, this property here.
This is the one we went to one time, isn't it?
Yes.
It has the house that's being excavated.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And when the van broke down in the creek.
Yeah. Well, that was when we went to Mammoth Cave.
That was the other time.
That was the Mammoth Cave. Well, on the ferry in the middle of the river, not broke down.
Anyways, Cornelius was so upset because it was one of his vehicles that broke down. All right, did we vote?
No.
Okay. All right. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. We're glad to be the darling of that group, isn't that?
Yeah.
All right. Item number 13, it's the appointment of a nominating committee, and that committee that I'm appointing, Judy Hughes will chair that, Jim Johnson will serve with her, and myself. So that's an appointment.
I think you said it on an email.
Gary, are you ready to do your report at this time?
Yes.
We might have gotten a hard copy of that.
Two things I want to focus on before turning.
I'm sorry, we skipped an agenda item.
Item 13. What did you skip?
Yes.
I just did it.
You just did it.
No, that was
nominating, and this is the evaluation.
Oh.
We already had done, it was a mistake in the agenda.
Yeah.
It was miswritten, it was mistyped.
Mm-hmm.
At the last meeting, I had appointed a committee for the evaluation, and that is yourself and Jim. This is supposed to have read the nominating committee. So that was the correction to this agenda.
Oh. So for board officers?
Correct. Yes. The nominating committee for the board officers. And I didn't call for any motion because that's just an action that the chair takes to appoint a committee. And that's been done then. Okay.
But we still need to, at one point, go over the president's evaluation, which I assume will be after the
agenda
items.
To.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, fine.
I have it written down here, but I haven't forgotten it.
All right, fine. Okay.
All right. Dr. Ransell, then we'll go to your report.
The state budget, simply because of the gravity of our budget situation, while I cannot be specific because we've been asked to turn in two different impact statements to the state, but our budget reduction, either by executive order or by executive budget proposed, has fluctuated from 4% to 2% to 6.7%, and really we don't know exactly right now what our state budget reduction will be, and we won't know until the General Assembly engages the legislative session that begins next week. The President's had a lengthy discussion yesterday And we are beginning to zero in on a tuition policy in concert with CPE and, frankly, in concert with the leadership in the House and Senate and the governor's office. Don't know what that will be yet. Suffice to say that it will be modest, more in line with what I would expect to be any one of three potential inflationary indices. So I'm just going to have to continue to forward information to you as we know it. And with regard to our state budget, the vice presidents, our administrative council, are working hard. They know just to protect your carry forward funds. The challenging thing for us is whatever a budget reduction will be going forward, there will be a recurring reduction to our base, but we'll have to provide that same amount of money in a non-recurring context this year. And we won't learn what that final number will be until we're almost through three quarters of the year, meaning most of our budget has been spent. And so it becomes a very difficult circumstance, but we are being very thoughtful and in a difficult circumstance in measuring what our cuts would be when called upon. They could be anywhere from $1.6 million to $5.4 million. And that's a big swing when you're talking about basing your operating reduction in state funding. And last year, it was just a few months ago, last spring, that we took a 6%, $5 million reduction, as you well know. So we are agonizing over this, and the impact will be significant, particularly if it's at the higher end. And without getting into a political discussion, you know, this is a, just in case you don't track the legislative process closely, this is a non-budget session, meaning it's not an even-numbered year, 2000, 2002, 4, 6, 8, when biennial budgets are approved. Are enacted upon. So this being a non-budget year, the irony is the legislative session will probably be all about the budget, but it will take a three-fifths vote in both chambers to pass a budget matter or a revenue increase or a tax variable. Right, correct? And, you know, the reality is the likelihood of getting three-fifths of either chamber is going to be difficult to achieve. Now, you have a Democratic majority in the House and a Republican majority in the Senate, and it's going to be a tough negotiation. So I think the leadership in both chambers and the governor are doing all they can at this point to work together to try to determine what's the fallback if no revenues are authorized. And that's an alarming possibility for us as a state agency who would share in that. So I will just keep you posted as we know more, and particularly as things become more defined, both in terms of the tuition process and the budget reduction process. The Council on Post-Secondary Education meets in March to act on a tuition matter, and then our board will come back in April and we will take action on our tuition increase per either specific action, parameter, or cap. And it could be all three at this point, depending on how the CPE chooses to approach the matter of tuition at their March meeting. So that's the sequence. The legislative session ends the second week in March, first week in March?
Yes, and then they're followed by a two-week veto period, and then the final day is the 24th and 25th. They can constitutionally stay in until March 31st. They must finish by then. The only thing I might add, just by way of trivia, is I've worked in every session since 2002, and only one of those has not dealt with a budget. I believe the first year they started doing these odd number of year sessions was in 2001, if I'm not mistaken. So All at once in that position.
So we will know by March the dimensions of our challenge, and our April meeting will be about budget reductions and tuition setting. And those two will not be correlated. And I go back to conversations we've had in relation to the strategic plan that I'm transitioning into here. Like last year, whatever budget reduction we have, we will take, and we will reduce programs. We have fewer positions, fewer employees, and reduced effectiveness and funding of programs. But we will not use any new revenue generated by a tuition increase, whatever it might be, however modest it might be, to offset those budget cuts. What we will use any new revenue we can capture to do will be to pay fixed cost increases, which we have, with a lot of whittling and difficult decisions, are right at $3 million. And that's mainly utility cost increases and new buildings that have come online or will be coming online in the months ahead, that maintenance and operations that typically comes from the state but is not coming from the state in this difficult economic environment, so therefore we have to fund the maintenance and operations ourselves. Those are, the by and large, the fixed cost increases that we have to deal with. Beyond that, we're going to do everything we possibly can to have as much as we can possibly identify and squeeze out for faculty staff compensation. And it's yet to be determined how our benefits program will factor into that. But beyond that, we're not going to fund strategic initiatives. We're not going to fund needs. We're not going to fund pressures. Fixed cost increases, compensation, perhaps benefits to be determined, will be the only thing that we'll use new money for. Now, let me put that in context for you. A 1% budget reduction cost us $800,000 of a cut from the state. A 1% tuition increase provides $1 million. A 1% salary increase for faculty and staff costs $1.2 million. And those are the numbers that I have in my head at all times, always trying to balance what would a 4% tuition increase produce versus a 5 or 4 or 3 or 2% budget cut versus the cost of a 1% or 2% salary increase. We'll have to bring those numbers together. And just to give you a measure of the challenge, $3 million in fixed cost increases. And let's just say we're so fortunate as to even speculate about a 2% salary increase. We're at $5.4 million in new spending with just those two items. And we're not going to have a tuition increase that would generate that much money. So therefore, it's entirely possible, it's likely, that whatever our state budget cut ends up being, we're probably going to cut our budget more in order to redirect internal resources to compensation. Don't know what that will be yet. Don't even want to speculate about that yet. But you begin to see how critical the difference between a 2% and a 4% state budget cut becomes, knowing that those margins will really define our capacity to do something for our faculty and staff, who, as Patty has indicated earlier, $500 a person last year. So it's important for you to be able to frame those dynamics because those are the things that will frame what we bring back to you in April, tuition decision, and a description of our budget reduction plans, intentions, and then at a called meeting in late May, early June to approve a budget. And I hate doing a budget that close to the end of the fiscal year and the beginning of a fiscal year. We have no choice because so many dimensions, critical dimensions, are undefined at this point.
Do you have a target date for that called meeting?
Zan, Robin, see if you can track Ann down and
I have to buy a plane ticket for a conference.
And see if we can determine if she thought about that.
I think we had come up with something, but I'll call her.
Now, about the strategic plan, you see the strategic plan update in your book, and I won't go through all of this. Those of you who've been on the board understand our strategic planning process. And David, to kind of put this in some context for you, this strategic plan was approved on September 14, 2007. It was a few months later that we went from this plan calling for a 6% tuition increase and a 6% increase in state appropriations through 2012 to fund the outcomes to which we made commitments in this strategic plan. And so we went from that scenario to a serious budget reduction scenario as Governor Fletcher completed his term, Governor Beshear began his term. And not only did we not get any new state money, it was cut $5 million, and now the whole circumstance surrounding tuition is much different today than it was then. So what you see here are the June 30 fiscal year-end performance data for that strategic plan, which we approved in September of 2007. And I won't go through all of these, but to put this in context, we have appointed, as you know, a task force on quality and access. David Lee is chairing that task force. They are assessing a whole range of matters dealing with admission standards and enrollment and a number of initiatives from housing to our community college. And I will take the recommendations from that task force, which are due in late April, and we will use much of what they've determined and recommended as a means to boil this strategic plan down to very few priorities and focus on living within our means. And we will have a reduced strategic plan that will continue to allow this transformation to unfold, but the pace of change is likely, well, it's not likely, will be different for the next few years than it was when we approved the strategic plan under completely different national economy, state economy, political dynamic, and quite frankly, institutional economic profile. So that's our intention, and my intention is to use a amended strategic plan as the basis for my communication with the campus at our opening convocation in August, and this will be the basis for our discussion at our retreat this summer, our two-day retreat in July. And that's how I see the timeline unfolding in terms of budget, strategic plan, and institutional priorities going forward. So, I mean, I can go through this strategic, you know, any item in here that you would like, but you're familiar with almost all of these. We've spent a lot of time on it in recent years. It's a good, thorough strategic plan. Actually, the business plan portion of it is not in here because that's so much to be determined. But this does show the June 30 performance compared to the 2012 target for every performance indicator in our plan. And we're going to group those together and pare it down and discuss it thoroughly this summer.
Item 1F, it says strengthen support system contributing to the academic success. And in 2007 and 8, all those went down. The percentage of those went down. Are we not providing as much support, or on page 5?
Well, we took our first major budget cut in 2004, and we had a little bit of recovery But you recall we had a very serious budget reduction in 2004, and Robin's not here, but as I recall, the state didn't pass the budget in 2004 and had to come back after the session was over. And we've had a very unstable budget, state budget profile for the last several years. And my hunch is much of that has to do with funding as anything with 1F.
You can retain people better when you can staff them. When you can staff the courses,
Robbins,
and they're not, and you're not stuffing students into classrooms like sausages, basically.
Yeah, that's some significant drop.
Robin, did you?
The date has not been cleared on your calendar, Dr. Rainsdale, but I did talk with Sheila, and it was an available time. It appears June the 19th was what Ann was. That was her preferred date. So. That's a proposed date, and
so
the region's got an opportunity to say that
works.
What date?
June 19th.
Well, we will...
Tentative.
We will follow back up with you on that date and the dates for the July meeting and fall meeting as well. We'll get back with you to confirm all dates for committee meetings and board meetings for the balance of 2009.
Thank you. Any other questions regarding the strategic plans? And development update, please, Tom.
I'm sorry.
Tom's going to tell us that the zones has jumped high and got lots of money.
Our
dollars are worth more now, right?
I'm in charge of that. Exactly.
Yes.
I had prepared an hour report, but given the length of the meeting, Dr. Renzel asked me to cut it down to 30 minutes, so I'll try to keep
it.
No, I'll be very brief. If you look on in your packets under the, I'm not sure what page that is, Jonathan.
It's following Dr.
Page 20 of the President's report.
Right. I can just run through a couple of updates for you on graphs, and I guess while these numbers are difficult because of the endowment slippage, you'll see our current endowment on the first slide at 95.7. Our high water mark was a little over 105 million back over the summer. Well, that's the bad news. The good news is if you did read the Courier Journal or the Herald Leader over the holiday breaks, both papers did stories on overall university endowments in the state, and they reported on 14 university endowments, WKU's endowment less than any others. We were number one, if we can pat ourselves on the back.
Number one among the
most amount of loss. decreasing on a decreasing rate, maybe. I don't know exactly how you want to describe it, but a couple reasons for that. One is we're in the middle of our campaign, so our cash flow is strong. The second main reason, I think we are fairly conservatively invested and prudently invested for where we are right now. But we also were somewhat fortuitous, and I'll call it thoughtful as well. We fired a fund manager back before the bloodletting occurred 6 months before the real downturn. That was about a $5 million fund that we chose to keep on the sideline, not planning to reinvest it, but just kind of taking our time. And I think that had a huge impact on lessening our losses. So our losses were around 20% for the year, whereas if you've been reading anything about endowments around the country, you're reading numbers like 35 and 40%. University of Texas lost $1 billion out of their $5 billion endowment. So we feel not good, but feel that we're prudently invested and that we have a good strategy for moving forward. We also are one of the few endowments that now has some cash on the sidelines to be able to look at the opportunity when the floor, you know, if we knew when the floor was there or when the bottom, we'd all be very wealthy. We've made a decision at our last board meeting last Friday, and I thank Mr. Meyer for being there representing the Board of Regents, just take as we call it, a toe-in-the-water approach. We're going to start to, over the next 6 months, invest $1 million of that $5 million back into the market. And I won't go into the details of how we're going to be doing that, but I think it's a prudent step and gives us an opportunity to reap some of the benefits of, if you look historically at down markets, those who have those two C's, as they say, cash and courage, have the ability to have some benefit. So that's what we're planning to do with the endowment. I'll be glad to answer any questions at the end. The other slides are pretty straightforward. The only other thing I'll say, the campaign numbers at 31.6, which we're very pleased about, toward our $200 million goal, we're still ahead of our benchmark where we want to be. You can see we need to be at $134 million. We had an announcement this week on the Mitchell Latchart Professorship, which we're very excited about, very fitting for a professorship named for him. Mitchell's done wonderful work. And we're going to have another mate. In fact, I was on the phone there in the hallway, one of our staff members coming back with a signed gift agreement, and we're going to be having a very nice announcement in a couple of weeks that everybody's going to be pretty excited about. So it's a tough environment. We're working hard at it. We're having to be more creative, innovative with closing gifts, and Dr. Ransdell's going to spend, I know everybody says somebody's got to do it, and we're going to be down in Florida next week, but I can guarantee you we'll be working very long days. We have 5 different events and 4 nights, and we have a lot of individual meetings. When you're with Dr. Ransdell, there's not a lot of time in between visits. We're doing individual calls on major donors and others down there, corporations and foundations. So we're working really hard at it, and I think our communication is going to pay off down the line, and that's what we're seeing in our numbers. The other two slides, really no other comments other than to say on the cash flow, right now at 17.7 million last year, we're going to be very challenged to surpass that. We're working hard at it. We're below where we were last year at this time. Part of that is because we started last year with a $2.5 million gift, and we've been chasing that all year. But we've got some new commitments coming in, some bequests that we're going to be realized that we think we got a chance to make it back up to the finish line here on the cash flow. President's Circle, we're a little behind where we were. Some of that is an accounting issue with HAF and when they end up getting their commitments, but we plan to surpass our totals for President's Circle, sort of the backbone of our program. So that's a quick overview for the board. Any questions or comments?
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
We've had a great run for 12 years with Tom's leadership, and we will continue to have a great run for the next 12 years. There are cycles, and we're fighting through this one, and these are tough numbers to sustain in this environment we're in right now.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Appreciate the work you do.
Thank you.
Give me a report.
All right, Bob is passing out for you a synopsis of, I guess, the last quarter of media highlights. These are not all stories that have run about WKU in that period of time, but they are listings of several. I understand all of you received the daily clip sheet, so you see many of these as they go. Just to hit the highlights, wanted to make sure that you all were aware that the Kentucky chapter of CASE, which is the Council for the Advancement and Support of Education, there were several awards that this division, the Division of Public Affairs, received for their work, and much of that has been done throughout this past year. The Grand Award for Package of Video and Print Stories on Kenny Perry. Grand Award and Award of Excellence for Photography, and those are for Clinton, correct, Bob? Those were Clinton Lewis, who came on board with us May the 8th, I believe. And then 2 Grand Awards and 3 Awards of Excellence, 3 Awards of Merit for various publications projects. You can see some of the media highlights include coverage on the opening of our new mobile health unit, which was funded with Anthem, coverage of Owensboro, and then Debate Watch, obviously throughout the presidential election year, More things on faculty members involved in election coverage as experts. Obviously, a good bit of news, national news, on the October 22nd events, which is the altercation that occurred at the South Campus. And then there are a number of stories on that. Distance learning on the rise at WKU, up 42%. Agricultural funding from the State Ag Development Board for WKU. That's an opportunity, the first one that we've had, to my knowledge. And then other information on federal grants for math and science for low-income students. And Mennonite sisters who graduate from WKU. Some budget cut things as well. So I'm sure we'll see a few more clips like that in the next few weeks. Any questions or comments?
I have not been getting the daily clip sheets.
You have not?
No.
Okay. Bob, can we make sure that we have the correct email address? We send those daily by email. Okay. Is everyone else receiving those? Very good. We will check into that and get that fixed for that. Anything else?
Thank you very much. We have one other executive session that we want to have. Do you have that this for us to read?
Let me mention before you do that, because
okay.
Others in the room may want to be aware of this as well. At our summer board meeting, which will be our traditional board retreat type of meeting, July 30 and 31, I believe that's on your calendars, but if not, July 30 and 31. But a few years ago, we had a board dinner and function at Jerry Baker's home, Baker House and Gardens. And at that time, you heard plans for the Downing Museum that now has been built and is open. And so we will have our summer retreat, a dinner and evening function at Baker House and Gardens. And Jerry wants to personally take us through the Downing Museum, the Joe Downing Museum that he has created there. And it's the structure itself is a wonderful piece of art. But you will thoroughly enjoy seeing what the Arboretum and this museum have become with that addition. So that will be at 6 o'clock on the evening of July 30 at the Downing Museum. And then we'll have our we'll start that afternoon and go through the next day with our board material, board information and retreat.
Anything else for the good of the order? We will have the board members into executive session, and when we come out of that session, there will not be any other business. We'll be conducting it. Forrest, could you read that, please?
Yeah, I move the board to go into closed session for the discussion concerning the president's evaluation.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye.